together as you find 587, I Heard an Old, Old Story. Think about that day as you sing about the second stand.
I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried to Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And some built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and loved me with his redeeming blood. Praise God, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love.
Matt Brock. Amen. You may be seated. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, Revelation tells us that he is the Lamb that was slain, and he is the only one worthy to receive the authority to reign and rule over the earth. So because he humbled himself, God hath highly exalted him. Turn to 172. Number 172, your heart should rejoice that the man who went to the cross for you and bled and died is going to be exalted to the highest place. He will be exalted. Number 172.
The King of Heaven left his rightful place on earth's cross. He went to Calvary where he suffered on the cross. The King was humble when he bore the sin of every man.
Again, praise the Lord for that wonderful experience. If you are born again, that means you have a father, not just an earthly father, but a heavenly father, and you are part of his family. What a wonderful privilege we have. 338.
Death was all around me. Oh.
Sing these good songs. I blew out my voice in the first two. Thought my voice was getting a lot stronger, but not so strong anymore. So I apologize. We're back to the raspiness, just like that. So, okay. And all right. So let's see here. We got a little quiz that we can quiz our teenagers here. So glad that they're back with us. And we have been looking at particular verses. And so there is a particular verse that talks about a serpent whose head needs to be crushed. What verse is that found in? Genesis 3:15. Well, she's answering the question while she's looking down. So, oh my, I got some note takers here. Very good. All right, the girls are in the... All right, we looked at last time. What book of the Bible were we last time? Exodus. All right. Very good. You got to be quick. All right, we have a verse reference on that. 14:13, a clean sweep. I mean, the girls have won it out. Can anybody quote that verse of scripture, the first part? All right, oh boy. Let's see, it says, "Stand still, fear thou not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Right? That's the key element. We looked at, there's a conflict in Genesis, two warring sides. Those warring sides show up in Exodus, and God is delivering his people through salvation. And now what book of the Bible should we come to? Leviticus. All right, so turn in Leviticus to Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45. Leviticus 11, verse 45. I feel like this verse of scripture can summarize the entirety of the book. It's one of the most important verses. Part of it is you say, "Pastor, you're cheating," because it's quoted in the New Testament. That's a good clue that you're at one of the key elements of a book is when that verse is quoted in the New Testament. See here in Leviticus 11:45, it says, "For I am the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I..." You can see in Leviticus that he is referencing in this verse something that just happened, right? He's referencing what book of the Bible? All right. Yes, Exodus. Very good. The book we just came out of. It's building. And the whole Bible is like this. One book after another builds on the next verse. And in this we see, he says, "I am the Lord. I saved you. I delivered you." But he did it for a purpose. And that purpose is to be your God. I want to have a relationship with you as a creature. Now there's a certain kind of relationship that you can have. Here, the relationship is a people to a God. And he says, "I want to be your God." You say, what does a God mean? A God meets all your needs. A God is a person that you focus your entire life upon. You dedicate yourself to this. Because you need all of your needs met. And you give yourself fully to Him. So here is this relationship. You have salvation, God's Savior. He wants you to enter into a personal walk with Him. That He is your God. And He tells you what you absolutely must have to have this relationship. He says, ye shall therefore, because of my salvation, because of the intimacy of the relationship I want to have, this is what you must have. Behold. Now we come to this element and says, what is holiness? I tell you, every time I come to this idea of holiness, I want to explain it. And I always have to say, now wait a second. There is an element of, it is a big word. It captures a lot. When it comes to God, God is holy. And we saw in the praise song, we looked at in Sunday school, it says, who is holy like our God? And the answer to that question clearly in Exodus chapter 15 is, there's how many people holy like God? There's no gods like Him. There's no people like Him. There's no one like God in His holiness. In fact, holiness means you're set apart into your own category. You're in your own stratosphere. Nobody is there with you. And then God says, you be holy like Him. Okay? But part of this element here, oh, thank you, sir. There you go. All right, meeting needs here. Let's see if the water can work first. If not, we'll try it. I don't care about my voice. You may not care how it sounds, but I don't care. I'm going to get it out there. God's holy, but part of His holiness encompasses everything that He is. It encompasses the fact that He's exalted. Love everything, all of His greatness. And it also encompasses all of the beauty of His moral attributes in His entire character. And ultimately, God is set apart to Himself. You know what you have to be? You have to be set apart to God. And so when something is holy, it means that it belongs to the Lord. It says you have to belong to the Lord. You have to walk with Him. You have to give your whole life to Him as your God. He is calling for an incredible, total dedication to God. But also, if you're going to walk with God, God is going to give life. He is a kind, loving God. Sin against the glory of God. So here is the great catch. We must be made. And you know what Leviticus is about? It's about how God makes men holy. The high point of that is in Leviticus 16. It's called the Day of Atonement. There was two offerings that were given. They would have two goats. They would cast lots, and one would live, and the other one would die. The one that would die would be killed right before the tabernacle, and they would take that blood, and they would go into not just the tabernacle, but beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, and the high priest, and him alone, could do this once a year on this particular day, and he would stand before the place where God's presence was at, and he would take incense that would be putting out all kinds of smoke and simmering so that he could not see the glory of God. He would get close to that mercy seat, and he would sprinkle seven times the blood upon that mercy seat. And it would cover all of the transgression of the people of Israel and the entire year to enter that sacrifice and that blood could never cover their sins. It was only a picture of Jesus that can wash away sins. And so ultimately, the only way that you and I are made holy, like He is made, is if there is a blood sacrifice on our behalf and Jesus Christ is that salvation. Just like the Exodus points to the cross, the Levitical holiness and the Day of Atonement points to the cross. The one that did not die would be alive. They would confess the sins upon its head, and then they would cast it out into the wilderness. It was picturing carrying away the guilt of the sin away from the camp. And God would carry away the sins of the world and die without the camp. Both the dead goat and the living goat, pictures of Jesus Christ. Because it took more than one aspect of it to even picture all that Jesus Christ was going to do. But on one side, there is this element. You have to be made holy. But another aspect, if you're going to be holy as God is holy, you must be holy. Say, I want something that would my life. I want to live something that's for something that's bigger than me. The Bible calls for a demand upon us so big and so great that encompasses the greatest and most noble purpose you can have. The first six chapters of Leviticus lays out sacrifices by which you come to God. And in those sacrifices, God was teaching his people the lesson of what it means to be set apart to God. You say, I'm set apart to God. What does God want to me to be? He wants you to, first of all, be a sacrifice. Yes, a sacrifice. Within that sacrifice, just like the burnt offering that was consumed wholly, God doesn't want you to hold anything back. You give it all to him. It is all laid on the altar. You surrender everything to God. My future, my talents, my ambitions, my children, every aspect, God, is laid at your feet. Not only that, you are to give all that you have to God. You are to give a meat offering, a grain offering. They would actually take the work of their hands and they would give an offering of that, just like we give a tithe or give a portion of our money to symbolize all of it's yours. They were doing this with the work of their hands, basically saying, everything I set my hand to do, God, it's for you. We could call this, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You dedicated all of your activities of your life to him. Say, my whole life, my whole ambition is to glorify my God. And the third thing is, the third sacrifice was called the peace offering. That was when you would enter into the sacrifice and you would actually eat part of it in the tabernacle and God would get a part of the best part and you would actually have a meal together. Symbolizing what does God want? Total surrender, total dedication, climaxing in fellowship with him. The other sacrifices were for sin offerings, in which God would want us to confess our sin to God. Sin is pictured in Leviticus like leprosy that clings to you, spreads to others, separates you from others, and ultimately destroys you. God has a means by which you can be cleansed through a blood sacrifice. Sin is seen as that which defiles from birth and makes the mother unclean every single time she has a child. She is born a sinner into this world. But God wants you to be a sacrifice. You say, I'm holy unto the Lord. What does he want you to be? He wants you to be a priest for God as well. Part of the instructions of Leviticus are oriented toward priests. And you, as we've seen in 1 Peter, I'm sorry, is that God has made us priests so that everything you do is a ministry oriented to draw other people to God. You say, is this such a big deal? Do I have to be holy like God is holy? You know what? There was two brothers that didn't quite capture that understanding. They're called Nadab and Abihu. You guys know who those guys are? What happened to them? They brought in incense, and they had concocted it in a different way. God had told them exactly what to do with the incense, and they didn't follow that. And the Bible said they offered up strange fire. And God said, I'm not pleased. How did they know that God was not pleased? Someone tell me. Fire came out from the presence of God and burnt them to a crisp right there at the altar. No one had to wonder if God was displeased. And you know what God said in Leviticus 10:10? He says, ye shall put a difference between the holy and the unholy. And he tells them, you priests had better not touch any alcohol. Because when you come before my presence, you better have your wits about you, because you need to distinguish what is good and what is right, what is holy and not holy, what is common and profane versus what is dedicated to God. And so what does it mean to be holy? It means that you and I must walk with discernment in this wicked world. You know what? The second half. The first half is all about ceremonial purity. The last half is all about the dedication of the rules that God has in this book. He said one of the big ones is fornication. You can live like the nations and follow their practices, but what do? They live for their own pleasures. And I'm going to tell you, in the world that we live in today, fornication is one of the most dominant sins of the culture of America. It's on TV programs. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. People are walking around asking and begging for people to sin with their hearts and their minds in this way. And God says, You can't live like that and walk with me. Idolatry, setting things above God, robbing others, or this aspect of just being a false witness. In Leviticus 19, this principle comes through. He says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you know what holiness means? If you want to walk like God, you must love other people. Sometimes people put holiness and love as contrary attributes. Reality, they are one. Not that they don't have two different meanings, but the same God who is God is love is the God who is holy. There is no break between those. Ultimately, the book ends with this element of blessing versus cursing. What will you have? Will you listen to his instructions? Will you walk holy as God is holy, and he will bless every area of your life? Or will you turn away from the holiness of God? Walk with him half-heartedly. Be only so committed to God. God says he'll refrain his blessing. In fact, the curse of God abides upon the house, and nothing reaches what God intended to have. So ultimately, end. What is our sequence? You must have, first is salvation. Then the salvation has the purpose of a... Salvation leads to... I brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. That means he wants to have a relationship with you. And that relationship demands holiness. This book lays out for you how you can walk with your God. How you can have a personal relationship with him day by day. Live. God help us live in the holiness of our God. All right, we'll give up.